From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, October 10th, 2014. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. In this week's report, the ARRL is investigating a web server breach. A radio amateur is among the Nobel Prize winners in chemistry, and Scouting's 57th Jamboree on the Air takes place October 18th and 19th. Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Bruce Gordon, WB8FMA of Wheeling, West Virginia, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
In late September, a security breach occurred involving a web server at ARRL headquarters. ARRL IT manager Mike Keene, K1MK, said, however, that league members have no reason to be concerned about sensitive personal information being leaked. The incident has been reported to federal law enforcement authorities. Keene said that the servers were taken offline and isolated from the internet when the hack was discovered. Legacy URLs, a URL address containing p1k.arrl.org, have been restored to service, as has access to the ARRL Periodicals Archive. The online DXCC application remains temporarily disabled. Keene stressed that it is highly unlikely that any sensitive information was compromised. Any information the hacker might have been able to glean from the ARRL server, he said, is already publicly available. Data such as names, addresses, and call signs that appear in the FCC database. The hacker may have been able to obtain site usernames and passwords that were established prior to April 2010, however, and ARRL members who have not changed their passwords since early 2010 should do so now. Keene said that his department is doing everything it can to research the hack, restore the online DXCC application, and fortify the league's internet security posture. A California radio amateur and ARRL member was among the three winners of the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. William Warner, WN6I of Los Altos, a chemistry professor at Stanford University, will share the prestigious award equally with two other researchers, Eric Betzig and Stefan Hell, for their work in high-resolution microscopy, or nanoscopy. For many years, scientists had believed that an optical microscope could never yield greater than 0.2 micrometer resolution. The three scientists overcame that limitation through what the Nobel panel called the development of super-resolved fluorescence microscopy. "I'm incredibly happy about the recognition of the field, especially of all the workers and all the scientists at many places around the world who have contributed to the effort," Murner said. In Brazil for a conference, Murner had already heard the news from his wife, who learned of it from an Associated Press reporter who had called their home for a comment. As a Stanford University news release explained, optical microscopy was long limited by the presumption that it could never obtain a better resolution than half the wavelength of light. Murner, Betzig, and Hell circumvented this limitation through the clever implementation of fluorescent molecules, which made it possible for optical microscopes to operate at the nanoscale and visualize individual molecules moving within cells. Steve Putman, N8ZR of Fairborn, Ohio, one of the candidates for the Great Lakes Division's Vice Director's Chair, died unexpectedly on October 5th. He was 58 and an ARRL life member. Balloting is already underway for the Great Lakes Vice Director position, currently held by Tom Delaney, W8WTD, the only other candidate. In declaring his candidacy, Putman, a professional engineer, said that he got into amateur radio to have fun. Born in Michigan, he was licensed as a novice in 1972 as WN4ZRR while living in Alabama. Putman became an ARRL VEC volunteer examiner in 1985, in the early years of the volunteer examiner program, and he established a VE program for the USECA Amateur Radio Club in Utica, Michigan. Putman also served as an ARRL volunteer consulting engineer. He was a member of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association and a life member of QCWA. The ARRL Ethics and Elections Committee has determined that all votes cast by members in the Great Lakes Division will still be counted. If Putman receives the most votes, a vacancy will be declared that ARRL President Kay Craigie, N3KN, would fill by appointment. You're listening to ARRL Audio News on your local repeater, including the W8SRC repeater serving Dexter, Michigan on 446.150 MHz. Now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Paul, N8HM, reports the first AO73 FunCube 1 73-on-73 award has been issued to Wyatt AC0RA. Award number 2 was issued to Zeljko 9A2EY. The award aims to promote activity on AO73 satellite. The requirements are straightforward. Work 73 unique stations on AO73. Contacts must be made on or after September 1, 2014. There are no geographic restrictions on your operating location. This means you can work from any grid, any state, or any country as you travel to accumulate your 73 unique stations. While the AMSAT Symposium is in full gear October 10th through 12th, you will find a lot of activity on all the satellites. AO7 should be busy with transatlantic contacts. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
The ARRL is accepting nominations for the George Hart Distinguished Service Award through November 1, 2014. The award honors longtime ARRL communications manager George Hart, W1NJM, the chief developer of the National Traffic System. Hart died in 2013 at the age of 99. Established by the ARRL Board of Directors in 2009, the George Hart Distinguished Service Award is given annually to an ARRL member for exemplary service to the league's field organization. Selection criteria include NTS operating record, amateur radio emergency service participation, or service to the ARRL field organization in terms of appointments and/or leadership positions held. Nomination should thoroughly document the nominee's lifetime activities and achievements within the ARRL field organization. Nominees are expected to have at least 15 years of distinguished service. The Programs and Services Committee will serve as the review committee, and the ARRL Board of Directors will make the final determination at its annual meeting in January. Submit nominations and related supporting material and letters of recommendation to Steve Ewald, WV1X, at ARRL headquarters. Scouting's 2014 Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA, is set for the weekend of October 18th and 19th. The annual event links scouts around the world via amateur radio. More than 500,000 scouts and guides get together over the airwaves each third weekend of October for JOTA. According to the World Scout Bureau, JOTA is the largest scouting event in the world, with nearly 750,000 scouts participating from 6,000 stations in 150 countries around the world. Scouts of any age can participate, from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts and Venture crew members. JOTA's goal is to foster scout-to-scout communication across borders and oceans. The idea is to contact other scout stations and allow as many scouts as possible to talk to other scouts and learn about who they are and what they are doing, the Boy Scouts of America has said in its JOTA guidelines, which offer suggested frequencies. On-the-air exchanges typically include such information as name, location, scout rank, age, and other hobbies, but the conversation can certainly go beyond that. Amateur radio licensees should be aware that international third-party traffic agreements may prohibit direct person-to-person communication between unlicensed individuals in certain other countries. In those cases, the station control operator may serve as an intermediary. Licensed mentors often open their stations to scouts on JOTA weekend, serving as control operators. Radio operation will be on 80 through 6 meters, all modes, and 2 meters and 70 centimeters FM simplex. Upward of 14,000 stations were on the air for JOTA in 2013. A JOTA participant patch is available, as is a certificate and log sheet that can also be used to fulfill a radio merit badge requirement. More information on JOTA is available on the ARRL website. With JOTA 2014 less than a week away comes word that its founding father, Les Mitchell, G3BHK, died on October 6th. Mitchell started JOTA in 1958 after launching the idea a year earlier at the World Scout Jamboree. That was the first year the Jamboree had an amateur radio station on site, and it's had one at every World Scout Jamboree since. Mitchell realized that many scout leaders were also hams and that it would be possible to arrange a jamboree on the air. Little did I think when I drew up the plans and rules for the first event in 1958 that its popularity would increase and spread around the world, Mitchell reminisced in the year 2000. JOTA is great fun, Mitchell said, adding, if you put nothing into the event, you may get nothing out of it. JOTA is your chance to speak to scouts and guides over the horizon.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Bob, KD8TIZ of Alexandria, Ohio, and you're listening to the ARRL Audio News.
And finally, the ARRL Centennial W1AW portable operations, taking place throughout 2014 from each of the 50 states, are now in Missouri as W1AW-0 and Virginia as W1AW-4 through Tuesday, October 14th. They will transition at 0 hours UTC on Wednesday, October 15th, to Alabama as W1AW-4 and Michigan as W1AW-8. In addition, W1AW-KH0 will also be active October 8th through the 21st from Tinian Island in the Northern Marianas. So far during 2014, W1AW has visited each of the 50 states for at least 1 week, and by year's end, W1AW will have been on the air from every state at least twice. To earn the Worked All States with W1AW award, work W1AW operating portable from all 50 states. A W1AW Worked All States certificate and plaque will be available. That concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at ARRL.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@ARRL.org. This program is copyright 2014 ARRL, all rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X, 73, and thanks for listening.